Hare Krishna. So usually we read and discuss one verse in purport from the Brahma Samhita before we go on. Any suggestions? Which verse? Sanjato bhagavach chaktya tatkalang kila choditaha sisrikshayang mating chakre purva sangskara sangskritaha dadarsha kevalang tvantam nanyat kim api sarvataha. Sanjataha, on being born, bhagavach chaktya, by the divine potency, tatkalam, at that time, kila, indeed, choditaha, being guided, sishrikshayang, to the act of creation, matim, his mind, chakre, turned, purva sangskara sanskritaha, under the impulse of previous impressions. Dadarsha, he saw, kevalam, only, tvantam, darkness, na, not, anyat, else, kimapi, anything, sarvataha, in every direction. Translation: on coming out of the lotus, Brahma, being guided by the divine potency, turned his mind to the act of creation under the impulse of previous impressions, but he could see nothing but darkness in every direction. Purport: Brahma's impulse for creation arises solely from his previous impressions. All jivas get their nature conformably to their impressions of previous births, and accordingly their activity can have a beginning. It is called the unseen, or the result of one's previous deeds. His natural impulse is formed according to the nature of the deeds done by him in the previous kalpa. Some of the eligible jivas also attain to the office of Brahma in this way. So this is discussing how, you know, Brahma, being born out of the lotus, decided to create the universe. Where did he get the impulse to create the universe from? Or where do we get the impulse to, you know, whatever we do? We want to watch a movie or eat a piece of pie or something like that. Why, you know, that impulse arises in our mind, and that action takes place in our body, and then our senses engage with their objects that way, or we desire to do something. We decide to write a symphony. You know, where do we get that impulse to write a symphony, and then we sit at the piano and work and compose it? Or where does Chopin get that impulse to be able to do this kind of stuff? So these things are arising under the material modes of nature on the basis of previous karma. They have a cause. They are material. They are things that have a beginning and an end, a creation, and they have some material cause. And that material cause is found in the interactions of the previous activities and previous impressions. You perform some deeds, and that creates seed of a reaction that later sprouts. The seeds may be completely subtle. There's no impression of it. And then it later sprouts into a desire or an inclination, and that inclination interacts with other things, you know. And so eventually, they bear fruits, and those fruits are the actual activities of this world and the actual experiences, you know, pleasure and pain, tastes, sights, sounds that we hear, and so forth. So this is describing how Lord Brahma decided to create the universe because of his previous karma. This, he was impelled in that way. And
I had somehow misunderstood that he was creating also in his previous birth. So my question was just, does Brahma, after his death, does he get liberated, or does he come back again as Brahma?
I don't know what he was doing in his previous... in the previous kalpa, so, this, in the previous kalpa suggests, Yeah, kalpa can be different things. Can be also just 1/1000th of a day of Brahma. You know, the four yugas taken together, a cycle of four yugas can be one kalpa. And 1,000 of those taken together is one day, and then a similar length of time is his night. So I'm interested in why it says that. No, Lord Brahma is generally, after the universe is destroyed, he goes back to the spiritual world, generally, but not always. And so it's, you know...
And my question is, when does he not go back?
Well, there are millions of universes, billions of universes, all coming out of the pores of the skin of Mahavishnu. So in those billions of universes, there are all these different Brahmas, and they all have free will. And, you know, so if he decides to stay engaged, either if he's a great devotee that's being requested by Krishna to assign to some other, to be another Brahma or to do something else somewhere else, he might go do that. So, you know, some of them will fall down again to other stages of material existence based on their independence.
This one is for our Brahma, and this Brahma Samhita is for our Brahma.
I don't know if this Brahma Samhita is the Brahma from this universe, but I've always assumed it is. We have also a description in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Lord Brahma coming out of the lotus and you know, getting initiated by the primal preceptor. He hears the sound tapa, and then he meditates and so forth. It's a very similar story, and they're not exactly identical in every detail. I have not heard whether our commentators, you know, our acharyas have... these kinds of questions are answered in the Goswami literature, like Laghu Bhagavatamrita and some other books where they vary, and also Jiva Goswami. Laghu Bhagavatamrita is by Rupa Goswami. But they do get very analytical and decide, you know, because for example, there are different descriptions of, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's different descriptions of, for example, the boar incarnation. Sometimes he's described as being white, sometimes he's described as being red. And the acharyas, you know, sort of take these things, which are in the Puranas, they're not necessarily in chronological order, and they're not necessarily the history of this planet or even this universe. Srila Prabhupada writes that in one of his purports. But the acharyas, sometimes they say, oh, in different kalpas, the same... It's like there are same themes that are recurring, but in slightly different ways sometimes. So... I've always assumed that the Brahma that we're reading about here is the Brahma in the history of this universe. But it's really so vast, you know. I mean, even this universe and this lifetime of Brahma is so inconceivable to us that what he's about halfway through, you know, like 50 years old or something like that. But one of his days is like 1,000 cycles of four yugas. So it's hard to imagine, you know, and then there are partial devastations at the end of each day and the partial, so I don't know exactly how this, whether this is the pastime at the very beginning of his life when he first came out of the lotus, or what I always assumed it is because he's coming out of the lotus, and whether it's the Brahma in this universe as opposed to other universes. But when we contemplate how many universes there are and how long Brahma lives and how, insignificant our own little life and world is, it's very inconceivable to us, you know. We can understand there's something, some more greater multidimensional intelligence that can, you know, deal with those kinds of numbers of details of you know, that huge vast amount of information that's not possible for us. But I don't know the answer. I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to that one. We can find it later. Sometime we can find it. You know, one thing we can do is you can write to Gopi Puranadana. And a lot of times he knows the answers to questions like this, and he has a question and answer service that you just write to his website and you say, especially about questions of Sanskrit, of verses and things like that. It says this, why does it say that? And because he knows the Sanskrit, but he's also been involved in translating some of these literatures like Laghu Bhagavatamrita, where and then there's a commentary by Baladev Vidyabhusana. So that our acharyas have actually been, you know, sort of more analytical and trying to put everything in chronological order and, you know, like sort of explaining it more from this kind of viewpoint rather than, I guess, when Vyasadeva was explaining it, he was just, you know, more interested in the essence of the lesson that the story told and the mood that the story contained. But for those who are more interested in I have to have the history all straight, you know, which Brahma was it and stuff like that. Our acharyas are, we shouldn't be shy about asking and trying to put it in order, or we shouldn't be afraid that, you know, we'll come across things that won't make sense and will hurt our faith and stuff. If we go through the acharyas, all questions are answered. But I thought it's interesting how this is the purva sangskara sanskritaha. It's the same with us. We are, you know, we have different inclinations, interests, you know, qualities and stuff that's all based on what we were doing in previous lives and so different impulses that.
In one lecture of Prabhupada, I heard that when living entity falls, it may not be exclusively, he may not be exclusively referring to the thing, but he just mentioned it, that when the living entity falls, he falls first as Brahma, and then goes down to the lowest possible creature in this world. So it means from Brahma also, he can go down to the lowest creature in the world.
Yeah. So we have to be careful, because we could always, even Brahma is not safe, so what about us? You know, we have to be very strict and careful, because we have a great opportunity, really, to become, to go back to Godhead, to become pure devotees in return and go back to Godhead.
I was thinking that from this verse, it sort of implied as if Brahma was Brahma and then he was born again as Brahma, so he was lucky. From his previous impressions, he was creating in his previous birth.
But the impulse of previous impressions, it doesn't say that those impressions were created when he was Brahma before. He might have had other impressions. Like I've also heard, according to Karmakanda, that if you, you know, live perfectly without committing a sin for 100 births, you be gradually elevated from this, that, you know, Brahmin, a demigod, you know, and by 100 births you become Brahma. So those previous impressions didn't necessarily come when he was a Brahma in a previous life. He may have been on some other demigod and you know, acted or you know, a pure Brahmana who acted very perfectly and then, you know, got those impressions. But somehow the motive passion is there because he wants to create. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
In the initial shlokas of Brahma Samhita, I got a bit confused, because initially we know that Lord Krishna is the creator of everything. He's the, he's the source of everything.
He's the origin of
all. Yeah, he's the original of and source of everything. But when it comes to creation, it is also mentioned in the Brahma Samhita in the initial verses that Mahavishnu is the creator, and then verse 5 to verse 15, it is mentioned that Lord Shiva is also the creator. And then it is also mentioned that Brahma is also the creator. Uh-huh. And then some verses later, it is also mentioned that Goddess Durga is the creator. Yeah, so actually I got a bit confused over here. We know that Brahma is created.
Yeah.
So how?
So they're all the creator in different ways, and all those ways of how they're the creator, they're being described in this Brahma Samhita. That's what's so great about this book. You know, sometimes people, you know, hear from, you know, from some authority that has heard some part of the Puranas or the Vedas, oh, Shiva's the creator of the universe. And then they just accept, oh, Shiva's the creator. And then they hear Vishnu is the creator, and they say, what? That's inconsistent. But the Brahma Samhita, you know, explains it all in, you know, how they all have their different, you know, that Goloka, Krishna, Goloka is the source of all. But he's engaged in playing with his devotees. And then Mahavishnu is his expansion, and then he's lying down in the causal ocean and dreaming. And then in order to you know, to create the material worlds, he never consorts with his illusory energy, but he sends the form of his glance to consort with her, and that glance is Shambhu or Lord Shiva, and he's the you know, dim twilight reflection, the halo that makes his appearance. And then out of the supreme neity, which is Ramadevi, which is the internal spiritual potency of Vishnu, then an expansion of her is the external mundane, you know, the consort of the great Lord Maheshwara, this feminine procreative principle. So all these things, it's a big subject, but it's very scientifically explained that they all have their own role of how they're engaged in creation, and they're engaged in different ways. So it's those who just simply say, well, you know, all the gods are the same or something like that, they're actually wrong. They all have their specific you know, their specific functions and their specific roles to play in the way the universal creation and maintenance and regulation and everything is all. So they're all doing specific functions, and so it's not the same. Hare Krishna, welcome. It's not the same to just, you know, to say, well, we worship the mother goddess, and or we worship, you know, the sun god, and but they're all just manifestations in one sense. Yeah, they're all delegated authorities that, you know, they're all devotees of Krishna. But in another sense, you know, there's a difference between worshipping that which is supreme and that which is not supreme, and Krishna is really the supreme. And they're doing their different services in accordance with his will. In accordance with his will, Lord Brahma creates. In accordance with his will, Lord Shiva destroys. In accordance with his will, Durga maintains the prison house of this world.
So, Prabhuji, could you help me understand Shambhu versus the Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh trinity that we talk about? Because further down it also says, where it says, just as milk is transformed into curd, that one, 45, number 45, mm-hmm. page 85. So that is Shambhu is for the performance of the work of destruction. And mm-hmm. so, and that's fine, we can understand that's a role of creation as well as the role of destruction is there. But my question was more on that Shambhu lives in the Mahesh Dham.
Mm-hmm.
And how does Mahesh Dham compare with Kailash? Are the two things the same?
Yes.
Okay. And then so there'll be only one Shambhu, but there'll be many Shiva. Like, how do we compare Shambhu and Shiva?
There's Sada Shiva. These are great, powerful personalities, and they're existing in many different ways throughout. In fact, where's the verse where it says that he created Vishnu out of his left whim? You know, Vaman Gada Srijad Vishnu. Because there are so many different expansions of Shiva too. There are 11 Rudras, and, you know, like the, just like there are so many fire gods, and there are so many, you know, that these are, they all have these different subordinate functions. But if you can find that verse here, I'll find it in here, it's easier. Huh? 15?
Yeah.
Is Vamangara Srijad Vishnu? So here, it's explained in the purport how, you know, what is it that Mahavishnu created Vishnu from his left limb and Brahma from his right limb and Shambhu from between his two eyebrows. And then it's explaining that these principles are there. The divine Purusha lying in the ocean of milk, the same who is the regulator of all individual souls is Sri Vishnu. And the Hiranyagarbha, the seminal principle, the portion of the Supreme Lord, is the prime progenitor who's different from the four-faced Brahma. So that Hiranyagarbha principle is the principle is of seminal creating energy of every Brahma belonging to each of the infinity of universes. In the same way, there's a seminal Shiva, Sadashiva, who's different from all the individual Shivas, but is the underlying principle of Shiva. The divine masculine manifested halo Shambhu is plenary manifestation of his prototype Shambhu, the same as the primary divine masculine generative symbol Shambhu, whose nature has already been described. Vishnu is the integral subjective portion of Mahavishnu, hence he is the great lord of all other lords. So in other words, there is Vishnu in principle, and he has many expansions of many different Vishnus that do different things. There are Purusha avatars, which is Mahavishnu, Kshiradakshay Vishnu, Karanadakshay Vishnu. Purusha avatars that are involved in the creation of the world, the creation of different parts of the world. Like Mahavishnu creates material energies, material universes. Garbhadakshay Vishnu becomes the soul of each universe and sets it into motion. Kshiradakshay Vishnu enters into every fragment, every portion of the universe. He's connected with every individual soul, and also he's in every atom and between in the space between each atoms. So there's these Purusha avatars, and then there's Leela avatars when he comes and performs pastimes, and there's Manvantars when he sends human progenitors of humankind to regulate the laws for human beings. And there's Guna avatars, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, that are the predominating deity of the three gunas. And in the same way, there are multiple different Shivas and multiple different devis, the consorts of Shiva. And they have all kinds of different, they have different pastimes, they have different functions. But they're based on these same ultimate principles, seminal principles. Getting kind of technical, isn't it?
So I was just thinking, is it right to just have this picture that from the eyebrows of Mahavishnu came Shambhu, and he lives in the Mahesh Dham, and then for every individual universe we have the Trinity of Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, or Shiv, right? And this Shiva, which is multiple of them, would be some kind of a manifestation of Shambhu, because they both do some kind of a destruction, and so the multiple Shivas, they live in the material world, and on some planet.
Yeah, Mahesh Dham is not exactly in the material world. It's in the Viraja region, the river between material world and the causal ocean.
Okay, so the Shiva will live there, and Brahma lives on the Brahma planet, and then Vishnu is at the bottom, right, from his navel pit.
Well, Vishnu has. He lives in everyone's heart also, but he has a planet called Shvetadvipa in the material universe. In fact, in the vicinity or the pole star, when we look in the northern hemisphere, we look and we see Dhruvloka. Mm-hmm. All the other stars are circumambulating it because mm-hmm. Vishnu is residing there in the ocean of milk. Mm-hmm. And And so he also has a place within this universe. And then, so similarly, there's Devi Dhamma, there's Mahesh Dhamma, there's Hari Dhamma. So anyway, you have that picture from the Srimad Bhagavatam,
Bhagavatam, yeah,
that Srila Prabhupada gave that when he first came from India. Also, he made the, take one of the first cantos, yeah. He brought that, he made this picture, and it was the cover of his book. This is a little different version of the same picture, but he has that. Here's the material universe, and here's Mahavishnu, and so many universes coming out of him. And then, I mean, this is the Mahatattva. So many universes coming out of Mahavishnu, and then right here is one universe, and it's split open, and you can see Vishnu is there, and Brahma is coming out of the lotus, on coming from his navel, and Lakshmi is massaging his feet. And then in this Parivyoma, in the unlimited spiritual sky, there are so many different planets presided over by different Vishnu or Narayan forms. Like there's 24 different names. Trivikram, Narayan, Upendra, Adhokshaja, Sankarsana, Nisringa, Damodar is one of them. So there's even a poster. Somebody I've seen, I think at Bali Mardan's house, he has a poster of this kind of picture that shows it all. It's very.
One of the things that comes to my mind is that since everything is coming out of the pores of Mahavishnu, then Mahatattva is inside him, from where all these material things come out.
Mahatattva is like a cloud in the spiritual sky, and it contains the total material energy. And he lies down within that cloud. And then the universe has come from the pores of his skin.
I was just wondering, like, you know, what's the mechanism? There's Mahatattva there in Vishnu, and then stuff comes out of him. Mahavishnu is lying actually inside the Mahatattva.
Yeah.
In that, oh, okay.
You can see it, the depiction as represented here is that there's this big, it's kind of small in the picture, but there's this cloud, like, and it doesn't always appear. Sometimes it appears and sometimes it disappears. Although the material energy is eternal, the pastime of Vishnu creating all the material universes doesn't always happen. Anyway, it's all a big science. So we should move on because we have 10 o'clock, we have a hard stop, we're all going to go out on book distribution. So we'll do the Namashtikam. The blue tab in your blue book. And what we'll do is I will chant the Sanskrit and you'll respond. And then all together we will read the English translation verse by verse. Okay? It sounds complicated, but when we start doing it, it's easy. Nikhila Shruti Mauli Ratnamala. Dyuti Nirajita Pada Pankajanta. Ai Mukta Kulai Rupasya Manam. Paritas Tvang Harinama Sangshrayami. All together. O Harinama, the tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the string of gems known as the Upanishads, the crown jewels of all the Vedas. You are eternally adored by liberated souls like Narada and Shukadeva. O Harinama, I take complete shelter of you. Jaya Nama Theya Muni Vrindageya He. Janaranjanaya Param Akshara Krite. Twamanada Radha Pimana Gudiritang. Nikhilo Gratapa Patalim Vilumpasi. O Harinama, all glories to you. Sung by all the sages, you are the supreme combination of syllables and you bring transcendental bliss to everyone. If a person utters you but once, even disrespectfully, still you relieve his many extreme sufferings. Yad abhaso pyudyan kavalita bhava dvanta vibhavo. Drishang tatvan thanam api dishati bhakti pranayanim. Janas tasyo datang jagati bhagavan nama tarane. Kriti te nirvaktum ka iha mahimanam prabhavati. O son of the holy name, even a dim glimmer of your splendor swallows the powerful darkness of materialistic life and gives those who are blind to the truth the vision to follow the pure devotional service. Who in this world, even if learned and pious, can fully describe your transcendental glory? Yad brahma sakshat kriti nishtayapi. Vinashamayati vinanabhogahi. Apayiti namas puranena tatte. Prarabdha karmeti virauti vedaha. O holy name, the Vedas declare that meditation on the impersonal Brahman cannot bring freedom from karmic reactions, that they must be enjoyed or suffered, but that when you manifest in one's consciousness, all karma at once disappears. Aghadamana yashodanandanao nandasuno. Kamalanayana gopichandra vrindavanendraha. Pranata karuna krishna vityuneka swarupe. Twai mamaratir uchayar vartatang namadheya. O holy name, you have many forms, such as Aghadamana, crusher of Aghasura, Yashodanandana, darling child of Yashoda, Nandasuno, son of Nanda, Kamalanayana, lotus-eyed one, Gopichandra, moon of the gopis, Vrindavanendra, king of Vrindavan, Pranata Karuna, he who is merciful to the surrendered souls, and Krishna. I pray that my love for you in your many forms may greatly increase. Vachang vachakam ityudeti bhavato nama swarupa dvayam. Vachang vachakam ityudeti bhavato nama swarupa dvayam. Purvasmat parameva hanta karunang tatrapi jani mahe. Purvasmat parameva hanta karunang tatrapi jani mahe. Yastasmin vihita paradha nibahak prani samantad bhaved. Asyene damupasya soapi hisadanandam buddhau majjati. Asyene damupasya soapi hisadanandam buddhau majjati. O holy name, you manifest two forms, the supreme person you designate and the sound vibration that designates. We know that the second form is more merciful than the first, because even if a person offends your first form in many ways, you plunge him into an ocean of transcendental bliss if he serves your second form with his voice. Sudita Shrita Janarti Rashaye. Ramya Chidghana Sukha Swarupine. Nama Gokula Mahotsavayate. Krishna Purna Vapushe Namo Namaha. O holy name, you destroy the many sufferings of those who take shelter of you. You are the very form of concentrated spiritual bliss, a festival of happiness for Gokula, and the perfect and complete form of Lord Krishna. Again and again I bow to you. Narada Vino Jivana. Sudhormi Niryasa Madhuri Pura. Tvang Krishna Nama Kamang. Spura me rasane rasena sada. O enlivener of Narada's Veena, O flood of the waves of sweet nectar, O holy name of Lord Krishna, please forever manifest my tongue with all your nectarian sweetness. So this is the very simple and essential truth, that the Lord has descended in the form of his holy name, particularly in the great mantra, Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And in these holy names, He has millions of names like Govinda and Krishna and Pranata Karuna and Nandasuno, and he's invested all his transcendental energies, and he makes it very easy to approach him by chanting these names, and they purify everything, they clear away all the dust of our hearts, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, like their hearts are like mirrors, but now they're dusty, and so they don't reflect very well, and we can't see much in them. But if we chant the holy names, we can chant japa, we can go out like many of you did last night on Harinam in Palo Alto, and chant in public. We can chant in the temple, in kirtans to the deities, and cleaning away the dust from our hearts so they become the mirror becomes pure. And also we can go out on book distribution, that's also chanting. And it's cleaning, very cleansing. You feel very clean afterwards if you go out and distribute Prabhupada's books. Any discussion from anyone? What's your name? What is it? Sanchina. And yourself? Radha Krishna. Radha Krishna. Hari Bol. Welcome. You come here often or?
First time.
Where are you from?
I live in Campbell.
So do I. I just moved to Campbell recently. Oh, well, welcome. So that's very close.
Yeah, I just searched on
Oh, nice. We have programs every Saturday morning starting at 7:30 and every Wednesday evenings at starting at 6 o'clock. They don't really usually get going until about 6:30, right? And on Sunday evenings at 4 o'clock, but really they kind of get going at 4:30. You know how things go, you know? And so you and Sanchina should come as often as you can, and you find it's a very nice community. Our leader is Vaisheshika Das is in India right now, and he's coming back in a couple weeks. So we're all really anxious. So very nice to meet you, Radha Krishna. Today you see, Srimati Radharani is dressed as a cowherd boy. And our Kishore was telling me a story of why. Today is a day named Gopastami. But the story is that Krishna, Radharani used to like to go meet with Krishna, but she was married to someone else. So her mother-in-law, Jatila, wouldn't let her go out and meet Krishna, and she would keep guards to prevent her from going out. So Krishna sent Subal, and he was bringing a cow, and he made some excuse that the little calf escaped and went into their house, and he went in to get the calf or something, and then he disguised himself and he changed Radharani into his disguise, so she looks very much like Subal, so she was able to fool the guards and go out. And people thought that she was actually Subal. So she was able to go out of the house to meet Krishna. All right.